The last couple of weeks, it would be an understatement to say that the people of this church, it would be an understatement to say that the friends of the ministry have not endured some tough times, anywhere from children being sick to the passing of our loved ones. This morning, before we start anything, we're going to lift those families up and let them know that we're standing firm with them, that we've got their back, that they're not an island unto themselves. Whether they come through the doors, whether they attend here or not, God didn't say, build your church. He said, build my church. That doesn't just mean the people that don the doors or sit in the seats. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to wrap our arms around these family members and around these people. Please pray for my family as well. My wife, she was at a conference this past week. She was in Savannah. And about 2:30 this morning, I was sitting up studying and reading. I couldn't sleep. And I got a phone call that my nephew had passed away. He was, I think, about 25 years old. It was somewhat unexpected. But anyway, you know, my family doesn't need any other treatment than anybody else. Just stand with us, believe with us. God is in control. He'll take care of it. We will be traveling to Georgia here in the near day or two. And we just look for the Lord for safe travels and then return probably on about Thursday. All right? Heavenly Father, Father, in Jesus' name, God, the truth is that a lot of us, many of us, everybody under the sound of my voice in one way or another is enduring a trying time. And that's okay. As Job looked at it, he said, basically, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm not going to let my righteousness go. I'm not going to let my integrity go. We're going to stand firm. We're going to stand still. We're going to see the peace and the power and the anointing of God. And Father, we ask you that you, through the Holy Spirit, wrap your hands around these families. Let them know that you are there for them, that you love them, that they have family, they have friends that care about them, that we are thinking of them, that we are reaching out, and that they are going to come through. They are going to come through victorious, Lord. Father God, some days, many days, it feels like Friday. I made an allude to this the other day. It feels like Friday. It feels like things are hard, that we're wrenched, that we're torn. It feels like the day when Jesus was crucified. But Sunday is on the way. Peace is on the way. And your presence is ever with us. And we thank you. We give you all the glory and all the praise, all the honor for all the testimonies that will come through because of these tests in our life. In Jesus' mighty name and the congregation of victorious, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, it's so good to see everybody out this morning. We're going to talk today about the idea, did God really say don't eat? Did God really say don't eat? Maybe a month or so ago, it came to my attention that it's been quite a while, if not perhaps ever the person could remember, that somebody came to you with a message about fasting, came to you, what if you have illness? What if you have medical restrictions? What if you want to do it, but the doctor says that you shouldn't? We all have these questions, and we kind of suffer through, and we really don't always know all the answers that we want to find out. We want to chase down the will of God in our lives, if you will. This morning, this service, there's no possible way for an all-inclusive Bible study on fasting. But we're going to hit the high points. We're going to hit the questions. God is going to equip you with the knowledge, the wisdom that it takes to make a good, solid, Christian, successful decision on how you can proceed. What will it do in your life? What can it do in the lives of others? That's this morning. That's what God is going to reveal to us as we move forward. Heavenly Father, I'm going to come to you one more time. Father God, I pray for clarity of mind. Father, remove the obstacles out of my life. Remove the blinders. Remove the distraction. Father God, let them see you and not me. Let them hear you and not me. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. There are many fads when it comes to fasting in our modern society. We can find links, or we can find posts, we could find books about people fasting from their social media accounts, about them fasting from their video games. They may fast from their TV, internet surfing, or whatever their favorite entertainment may be. Maybe it's their hobbies, or so on and so forth. I'm not talking about those things. We're going to go back into the Word of God, and I am only talking about food. Only talking about food. If you have a conviction about how you spend your time, that's between you and God. Take care of it. Take care of it. Don't let something come before your relationship with God. If any of those things are trying to wiggle their way in, or take time away from your spouse, take time away from your relations, take time away from your kids or your families, take time away from how you provide for those people in your life, you need to move it. You need to move it out of the way. People come first. When we talk about fasting, we're talking about food this morning. In my opinion, the root of fasting is only about food. I can't find anywhere in the Bible where they said, this week maybe you should fast from riding your horse or your camel. I can't find anywhere in the Word where they said, this week you should fast from doing your duties at the synagogue, or you should fast from doing your duties around your home. I find multiple places in the Old Testament and the New where he talks about fasting, and he's always trying to get you to do without the fork, trying to do without putting food in our mouths. Well, what is fasting? Fasting is a depriving yourself from food for a period of time for spiritual reasons. For spiritual reasons. After this service, if you want my notes, I will email them to you straight from my computer. There's a lot of references this morning. I respect your note taking. Let me email them to you and let you print them out. I'll be glad to do it for you. Fasting is doing without food for a spiritual reason for a certain amount of time during a season of your life. I would encourage you not to haphazardly think that I want to fast. I've heard people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm fasting today. Well, that's good, but I really didn't want to know that. They've come to me and they said, yeah, I got up and I was rushing around. I walked out of the house and I didn't have time to eat, so I just decided to fast. Wrong motivation for fasting. That's not how we should be doing it. That's not the thought. That's not the haphazard way of Christianity, of just slinging things together and can't wait for the enormous move of God. Fasting should be thoughtful. It should be prayerful. It should be thought through. It should be emotional to a point. It should cost you something. Fasting surrenders our comfort of food to help gain spiritual clarity, or to help us see, recognize, or provoke a move of God. It also shows God our committing ourselves, our commitments, to defeating the flesh, to not giving in. If anybody has fasted for any reason in the past, you know how that refrigerator calls to you. Every convenience store on every corner, they built more just because you're fasting today. And the weakness tries to creep upon you and tries to say, it's only a bite. It's only a drink of coffee, or it's only a Coke, or you're suffering right now. Just pull over and stop. It's fast food. It shows a commitment that we, our spirit, is going to beat this body. That our spirit is stronger than our human will. Fasting puts God first in our daily activity. Particularly, it puts God first a life necessity. A life necessity. It takes food to live. It takes water to live. When you are fasting, should you go without food and water? I get questioned this all the time. People say, you know, should I completely abstain from everything? The Bible says, and we'll get to the reference in a few minutes, that Jesus fasted for the 40 days and the 40 nights, whereas he was getting ready to be tested. It does not say that he didn't drink anything. I can't find it in the Word of God, but research and science and time and doctors, we can go a long period of time with no food. I fasted up to about 10 days before. You can go a long time with no food. You cannot go a prolonged period of time with no water. You cannot go a prolonged period of time with no water. So I believe, my personal conviction on the matter, I believe that water during a total fast, abstaining from all food, is permissible. Based upon the grounds that the Bible doesn't say that when you fast, you can't have it. What is fasting good for? What is fasting good for? Mark 2 and 20 tells us the days will come when the bridegroom is taking away from them. And then they will fast in that day. Is what's happening right here in the text is people in the community, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, there are others that are in a fast. And they come to Jesus and they say, others are fasting. Why are your disciples not fasting? As a matter of fact, he said the disciples of John fasted, John the Baptist, the disciples of John fasted, but you, Jesus, your disciples do not fast. And Jesus' answer to them is that right there. There will come a day when the bridegroom, me, is taken away from them. I won't be standing in front of them. I won't be touchable and accessible. And when I am not, then they will fast. That tells us that fasting helps us to draw a closer intimacy with God. In His physical absence, fasting helps to draw us closer. Fasting breaks satanic strongholds. Matthew 17, 21. There in the storyline, we find that a man has brought his son. He calls him a lunatic. It says that he throws himself in the fire. He says, I brought him to your disciples, and they could do nothing. They couldn't help him. Jesus pretty much insults the disciples. Perverse and unbelieving generation. Bring him to me is what Jesus proclaims. He prays for him. The Bible has said, from that day, from that hour forth, the young man is set free. The young man was healed and delivered. They want to know why Jesus, when we prayed for him, it didn't work. Jesus says, in essence, this kind of power, these types of demons, this kind of stronghold only yields, only leaves, only bows down to prayer and fasting. Fasting, removing our selfish ambitions and what we want to do and what we want to eat, the types of places that we would go to sit down to enjoy that comfort of that food, puts us in a position to see the power of God more fully. This kind of power only comes by prayer and fasting. If you do not pray and if you do not fast, many of the greater works that Jesus talked about, what are you talking about? Jesus said, I'm going unto my Father. A greater works than these shall you do because I'm going to Him. You may not see the greater works if you can't crucify the flesh and you can't get it under submission and you can't prove to God, you can't show God. You are more important to me than anything. Nothing comes before you, Lord. No heartache, no hardships, no nothing, no food, no taste, no gifts, no amount of money. Nothing comes between me and you. When God sees that fervor, when He sees that faithfulness, when He sees that heart, He shows He is strong and mighty to that person in their life. Fasting focuses and unifies God's people. It provokes a move of God. If you would, turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Chapter 20. I'll give you a moment to get there. 2 Chronicles 20. We're going to look at verses 1 through 4. And then I'm going to skip over and we're going to look at a deeper one at 27. 20 verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be from Hazazontamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Fasting, when it's done correctly under the right leadership, can unify a people, unify a nation, and can move you closer and farther and in a greater intimacy and into the very witnessing of the move of the power of God. If we went through the story, we would find a long dialogue of prayers. About 232 words is the prayer that he prays, starting in verse 5 and going down. Jehoshaphat prays a powerful prayer, and he prays a prayer that he's not willing to take a back seat to anything. He knows that he can't win the battle, even though his generals may say we could win. He knows that he can't win. The Bible says that he feared, but instead of his fear causing him to run and hide, instead of his fear causing him to clam up, his fear provoked him, saying, "All we have is God, and we have to provoke him. I want the whole nation, every person, to fast." Verse number 27. Then they journeyed, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them. He didn't get in the back. See that? He got out in the front. That shows an element of faith. If a leader tells you that we're gonna form the army, we're gonna march down there, we're gonna take this thing, he gets on his horse and he goes and gets in the back, might be time to look for a leader. But if the leader says, "We can take them, we've done fasted, we've done prayed, we're going," and he gets out in front, start marching. Start marching. "To go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord have made them to rejoice over their enemies." God brought victory. God brought victory. The fasting produced a mighty move of God. A mighty move of God. When we look at these stories, we think, well, that was Jehoshaphat. I don't know that God would do it for me. Or that was David. Or that was Daniel in the lion's den. Or that was Paul. Or that was one of the disciples. I mean, we could go on for days. It was Esther. It was this one and that one. But they are no different than you. And my question is, are you provoking God? I'm not talking about tempting him. Not tempting God, provoking him with our prayers. Come on, God, move. God, my kids need you. My grandkids need you. My friends need you. My church needs you. My work needs you. My boss needs you. Are we provoking God to move in our life? Are there any requirements that must be met for me to fast? Are there any requirements that must be met for me to fast? You must humble yourself. Of all my reading and my digging and my looking, this is the number one. You must humble yourself. God does not humble you. God does not humble you. 132 verses is where I can find the word humble throughout the Bible, and every one of them says, "Humble yourself." I can't find one where it says that God is going to burst into your life and humble you, put you in your place. I can't find one. He did say, "Revenge is mine," saith the Lord. But I can't find one verse that says that God is going to show up and humble me. All 132 of them says, humble yourself. Save one. One says this. It says that God is going to humble your pride that you have in your power. That's what it says. So when you get to the one that it doesn't say humble yourself, it says that God is going to humble the pride that you have. It says that God is going to allow something into your life that is going to change your arrogance or your pride or your blasphemous attitude or how we treat people. God is going to change a characteristic about you. He's going to bring it your character and your integrity. He's going to say, you need to fix that. And that is going to help you do it. And then you humble yourself. You have to be humble. What if I have medical restrictions? What if I have medical restrictions? I have to take this medicine. It has to be taken with food. I have to take it 3 times a day. I have to take it 4 times a day. I have to take it every morning. The doctor told me that I can't fast. What do I do? I have low blood sugar. If I don't eat, I get weak. I can't function. What do I do? There's no reference in the Bible that I can find that addresses this. That addresses this. In a moment, I am going to give you types of fasting that you can do. Types of fasting that I believe 100% that God knows exactly where you are. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly the name of the medication you have to take. He knows exactly when you should be taking it, even when you forget. He knows everything about you better than you know yourself. Therefore, I fully believe, 100% faithful in the matter, that God gives you a way to fast, even though you do have restrictions. Even though you do have restrictions. Some of the types of fasting we have, the first one that I want to talk about is full fasting. This is where you're drinking only liquids, and you typically you do this for a number of days. Luke chapter 4 verse 2 says that he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. This is what I was talking about. Jesus fasted. It says that he was hungry at the end. It says that he ate nothing. It says nothing about him drinking a thing. I think he drank water. A full fast. We have occasional short fasting. This is when somebody on some kind of a schedule would say that I am going to fast for a meal. A short fast, a short amount of time, a sacrifice. This is the window of time, God, that I really want to give you. This is the time, this is my sacrifice. Not just of my efforts, but of my time. That's what God wants, is your time. He doesn't necessarily want or need your money. He doesn't necessarily want or need you to do anything for Him. He wants your time. So this occasional short fasting is an opportunity for us to say, you know what, on Tuesdays I'm free from 2 to 4. And I'm going to fast. I'm going to go without food, or I'm going to go without whatever the food item is, or the bread, or for this meal, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to pray. The key to this, though, is you can't have the intention on going to fast, but then get a phone call and say, yeah, I'll come ride with you to Walmart. That's haphazard fasting. People of God, we have to think it through. We have to pray about it. We have to plan it, and then we stick to it. When you get to that short term, if there's not an emergency, be there for God. Show Him that you're solid, that you're faithful, that you're not going to waver, that you're going to do what you said you'll do. Then we have occasional long fasting. That would be where you would fast for more than 4 or 5 hours in a day on some sort of a repetitive idea, perhaps one day a week. We have open-ended fasting. This is where people decide that they're going to start fasting and I am not going to stop until God speaks to me. You can go a long time without food. I'm going to go until God speaks to me. I, because of health reasons, not of my own, I want to tell you to be prayerful if you choose an open-ended fast. Be prayerful. Be positive that you and God are right there on it together. The longer that you fast, the more your metabolism slows down. And there have been many pastors, many people that has damaged their metabolism and then they put on excess, well, they have health problems on their organs because they went so long without food looking for the move of God. Looking for the move of God. Fasting is not intended to hurt you. It is not intended to damage you. It is intended to build you up, to pick you up. It is intended to focus you in and get you targeted on something, on God, on what He can do for you, on where He's at, on what you need Him to do in your life, on what He wants you to do for Him in your life. These are the reasons for the fast, not to be careless and haphazard and hurt our bodies, hurt the temples that God has given us. Group fasting, we know that a lot of time a church group, a Sunday school room, an entire church, an organization, even a nation or a city will do group fasting. If it's being led and it's being done right, it is of tremendous value. Again, the leader's on the horse in the front, not somewhere in the back. Then we have a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is when you eat no meat. It is when you eat no sweets and you eat no bread. You drink water and juice, you eat fruits and vegetables. God appreciates your sacrifice. If you take medications, if you have something in your life and you can't do a total fast or a full meal fast or a full day fast or an open-ended fast or a long-term fast or even what you'd consider to be a short-term fast, you can do a Daniel fast. That is your answer. That is your answer. You can do a Daniel fast. You can prepare your meal for that time that you want to give to God. And you can say, God, I'm not going to eat any meat. I'm not going to prepare any meat. There's going to be no desserts. There's going to be no sweets. And there's going to be no bread. That's how you participate with limitation. God will honor that. Just like He will honor somebody trying to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. How do you know, Pastor? Because the woman with the mite, she shows up with what would be 2 pennies. And Jesus says, she gave more than all of you. God is not impressed by what we're willing to try to do for Him. He's not impressed with our boasting or our pride or us prancing around talking about, well, I'm going to be fasting on Tuesdays or I'm going to do Thursdays. I'm going to start a 40-day fast. It's not necessary. It doesn't have to be announced. That makes us Pharisees and Sadducees. It's not necessary. I'm going to show you in a minute that God doesn't want you to do that. But He honors you doing without bread and giving that time to Him just as much, 100%, as He does somebody that can do 40 days and 40 nights. Do not feel ashamed. Do not feel put down. Do not feel belittled. Do not feel like you are letting yourself or others down. And do not feel like you're letting God down. He knows exactly where you are. And He's provided answers for you. We have partial fast, which would be something that somebody would do like from 6 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. It's a partial day. partial fast. I talked about corporate fasting. It's outlined in 1 Samuel, Ezra, Nehemiah, Joel, Jonah, and Acts. Corporate fasting is a powerful tool when used by the people of God in full ikkad, in full being together, in a full agreement to move mountains that stand in our way when led correctly. What about this one? I think I'm a nobody. Was he really talking to me when he said don't eat? I think I'm a nobody. I'm not a preacher, I'm not a pastor, I'm not an evangelist, I'm not a prophet, I'm not a this, I'm not a that. I don't even sing, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I really don't like teaching Sunday school, even when I'm forced to. Singing in the car by myself is a chore. I feel like I'm a nobody. Was he really talking to me? We've all felt like that from time to time. Is that really necessary, Lord? I'm a nobody. First off, nobody's a nobody. God's called you all to do something somewhere in your sphere of influence. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus outlines three activities for every Christian. Three activities for every Christian. In verse 2, actually, I'm going to turn there and read it. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 2. He's talking about giving. In verse 1, he says that when you give before men and you're doing it so people see it, you're not going to get any reward from God. You're not going to get a reward from heaven because you've done got your reward. They patted you on the back. Well, I gave this much. Okay, well, there you go. That's it. That's all you get. Verse number 2 says, but when you do give, do not sound the trumpet before you. Don't be announcing it. I'm giving $1,000. I'm giving $40. Look it. Don't do that. Don't sound a trumpet in front of you, as the hypocrites do. They do it in the streets, that they can have the glory of men. They have their reward. That's it. That's all you get. He's saying for all Christians, number one, you give. Number two, in verse 5, he's talking about prayer. And when you pray, not if you pray, not if it's convenient for you to pray, not if you feel like praying or if you want to pray. He said, when you pray, don't do like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in their synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they can be seen and heard of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's that. In verse number 16, moreover, I love that word, moreover. Moreover means in addition to what you've already heard. Jesus is pretty much saying, as if I've not been strong enough, moreover, in addition to what I've already told you, do this too. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. Oh, so tired. What's wrong with you? Oh, I've been fasting for days. We've been there and done that. Wanted a little pat on the back, and that's what we got. Because God said, you get your reward. That's that. For they appear to disfigure, they disfigure their face, and they may appear unto men to be fasting. Verily I say unto you that they have their reward. But when, verse number 70, but when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, look perfectly normal. Not a pity party. That thou appear not that you're fasting unto men, but unto your Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret is then going to reward you openly. He's going to reward you openly. You don't fast for the reward. You fast for the connection, for the relationship. But you don't do it in front of men. You don't do it boastingly and braggingly. And God will show up on your on your behalf. What about this question? And if I don't participate, maybe there's somebody on the sound of my voice, I'm not doing that. And if I don't participate, does it hurt me? Your Christian walk is up to you. If you worship, it's up to you. If you pray, it's up to you. If you give, it's up to you. If you fast, it's up to you. If you intercessory prayer for others, it's completely up to you. If you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness and a deeper relationship with God, that is completely up to you. There is no condemnation for it. But why don't you want more? Why don't you want to see the water part in front of you? Why don't you want to see the sick healed? Why don't you want to see the children restored? Why don't you want to see the families brought back together? Why don't you want it that bad that we're willing to give, that we're willing to pray, that we're willing to fast? Matthew 25, verse 26. I'm reminded of the talents. In 26, the one who did nothing with their talent, who did nothing with their resource. Giving, prayer, fasting is a resource, people of God. It's a resource. The one who did nothing with the resource got called a lazy and wicked servant. That's the Bible. The one who did nothing with the resource got called the lazy and the wicked servant. I don't want that on me. I don't want that on you. Isaiah 58, Jeremiah 14, and 1 Corinthians 8:8 all remind us that the attitude of the heart is what gets a hold to God. Jesus is moving through the multitude. He's plowing through, if you will, and it's the presses on him. It's crowded, and he's bumping into people, and all of a sudden he stops and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, everybody is touching you." He says, "No, somebody took virtue out of me." And a woman had reached up with an issue of blood. She grabbed the hem of his garment, and her faith and her passion, her brokenness, her drive, her not being a lazy or a wicked servant, she got up where she was at. She went, she found him, she bumped and she pushed, even though she was uncomfortable, she hurt, and she gets a hold to him. And Jesus says, "I felt the power leave me." I want you to get a hold of God. And when you're done praying for this person, you can say, "I felt the power leave me." But this only comes by prayer and fasting and having the right sincerity of the faithfulness in your heart. You can't have greedy ambitions. I'm going to fast because I want. I'm going to fast because I need. Lay that weight off of you, people of God. Lay it off. You are where God planted you. You are a blessing right where you are. Use what He has put there. Pray and fast and be sincere. Be complete and whole. Don't be two-faced or a fence rider. Don't be one person here and somebody else somewhere else. Be who God created, not some pretender. In my closing, fasting is a secret, a personal, an intimate, a hidden action unless we're doing it as a corporate body. What does this mean exactly, preacher? What does it mean, a secret and hidden? Why does it need to be that way? It needs to be that way so that nothing in creation, hear what I say, nothing in creation, no man, no woman, no child, no president, no politician, no business owner, no grocery store worker, nobody, no animal, no dog, nothing in this world knows you're fasting, knows that you're sacrificing, knows that you're on the inside, that you're hungry, that you're turmoil, that you're suffering a little bit. Nobody knows unless you tell them. Nobody knows unless you run your mouth about it and try to gain some kind of notoriety or pat on the back. People, we hear each other when we pray. But you don't know if I fast. Because I continue just like it is. Nothing indifferent, because God said, what you do, Chris, what you do, people. Fast in secret. Don't let creation know. It's not about them. It's about me. Fasting is a means of subjugating. It means to bring under dominion or control the enemies of God. You are attacked in your life through desire and through relationship. The battlefield is the mind. You have to make decisions based off your relationship and your desire. And if we choose poorly, we've all been there. If we choose right, we've been there. When the young man, the lunatic, gets brought to Jesus, he looks at his disciples. Let me tell you something. If I looked at you, who can I say it to? Okay. You are all disciples at the moment, because you're listening, you're learning, you're following. That's the definition of a disciple. And per se, Matt comes to me and he says, Chris, I was at the grocery store the other day and this person was just acting up. He said, and I prayed for him. I was sincere. God, move. And nothing happened. And I said this, oh, perverse and faithless generation. Much of the church would have a lot more empty seats. But that's what Jesus said to his disciples. I mean, we read it. And they looked at him, and instead of getting offended, I think they said, how do we fix it? And Jesus said, this only comes by prayer and fasting. My point being this. We cannot live always expecting to get a pat on the back. And we cannot live wanting attention. We cannot live a Christian life, a powerful life in His presence, if we're so worried about what people think about us. We can't get up day after day after day and go and trudge through our lives, getting our feelings hurt when somebody tells us the truth. Jesus told them the truth. The story of the parable of the talents, the man comes along and he told the servants the truth. And the one who did nothing with it, the one who did it all wrong, he said, you lazy, you wicked servant. I want us to pray this morning. I feel God digging deep into the root of our lives. I fasted before and it was wrong. I didn't do it with the right intention. I did it with selfish ambition. I've done it. I have went and fasted before when I was much younger. And when somebody said, what are you doing today? I'm fasting. Teeth everywhere. All of us have done that. There's no judgment for me. People of God, get your heart right today. Get your heart right today. Get in His presence. When you approach fasting, approach it right. Approach it faithful. Approach it whole. Be respectful to your body, to who you are and where you're at in life and what your condition, your age, your medication. Be respectful to that. Do what you can do. Pick yourself up and move into the future in the power of God. It is that easy. Would you stand to your feet with me? Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Would you just... you just be in His presence? Forget about your bills. Forget about your problems for a moment and just let it go. Only think about Him. Only think about Him. God, we love You so much. We love You so much. We don't want to cheapen the blessings that You have given us. We don't want to cheapen the blessings that You've given us. I don't want the easy way out, Lord. I don't want the lazy way and I don't want the wicked way. I believe everybody in this congregation is with me. Speak to our hearts. Comfort us. God, sometimes we want to do things that we just can't. Lord, there's been days that I just wanted to do something for You, but the resource, the time, the energy, the sickness, whatever, it wouldn't allow. Lord, comfort Your people that they're not failing. They're not failing. They are overcoming because they look at their situation and they say, you know what, despite of all this in my life, I'm going to fast anyway. Despite of all this, I'm going to pray anyway. Lord, call our hearts into being more faithful and fervent, into Your obedience and into Your will. God, when we fast, don't let us announce it and don't let us be prideful about it, but let us be humble, taking our rightful spot at the foot of the cross, at Your feet. Loving You and needing You and wanting You to grow in our life and expand and reveal Yourself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty, mighty, mighty name. Hallelujah. Just continue another moment. I don't want to rush Him. I feel His presence. I feel His warmth. Where His presence is, there is liberty. The altar is open. The altar is open. If you want to come and pray, get out of your seat. Move now. Father, in Jesus' name, move on Your people. God, call us into a greater purpose. God, when You call us out and You call us faithless, don't let us get offended. Let us just become faithful. Let us just believe. Let us just grow in our faith. If we've ever been called lazy or wicked, Lord, I'm sure I've qualified. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Pour out Your anointing and Your power. Move in my life. Correct me. Fix me. Mold me. A new creature in Jesus' name. Do the same for every person here. Every person here. Let them willingly climb up on the potter's wheel and decide, you know what? I'm no good the way I am. God can do more with me. That's how I feel. I'm no good the way I am. God can do more with me. In Jesus' name. thank you, Holy Ghost, for your anointing and your presence. Thank you for your presence. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and grant you peace. In your rising up, in your lying down, you're going out and coming in both now and forevermore. Would you give your response to me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen, amen.